Welcome. Today we're diving into a topic that, many people have heard of but may not fully understand: thrower's elbow.
Right, also known as an ulnar collateral ligament injury.
And of course, Tommy John surgery, which is the surgical treatment for this injury. We'll break it down in a way that's easy to follow, whether you're a patient or just someone curious to learn more.
And the information shared in this deep dive comes from the elbow education section of orthoeducation.com.
That's a free, high-quality, peer-reviewed resource designed to help patients better understand musculoskeletal conditions. And please remember, this is for general educational purposes only.
If you're dealing with a musculoskeletal problem or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
So our mission today is to really get a handle on what the ulnar collateral ligament, and we'll mostly call it the UCL, actually is.
And how the physics of throwing can just shred it.
Exactly. How doctors diagnose it, and most importantly, how this revolutionary surgery turned a career-ending injury into what's basically a year-long marathon, a physical and mental one.
It's an incredible story.
It really is. I mean, before 1974, a torn UCL was the end of the road. But the success of pitcher Tommy John just fundamentally changed sports medicine.
It did.
But to get that, to really understand the miracle of it, we have to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
So what exactly is the UCL? What immense job is it even asked to do?
Okay, so the UCL is a primary stabilizer in your elbow joint. It's on the inside, what we call the medial side of the arm.
It's on the side closest to your body.
Exactly. Think of it as a really, really dense band of tissue that connects your upper arm bone, the humerus, to one of the bones in your forearm, the ulna.
Like a strong rope.
A very strong rope. Its main function is to resist what we call valgus stress.
Valgus stress. What's that?
So when you throw anything, especially something like pitching a baseball at high speed, the force your body generates tries to violently push the joint apart sideways.
Wow.
And the UCL is pretty much the only thing stopping your elbow from dislocating every single time you release the ball.
So that's why it has other names, like the medial collateral ligament.
Right, or you'll sometimes hear its thickest part referred to as the anterior bundle. But its job is always the same.
Oh.
Stop that sideways bend.
That immediately explains why it's so linked with baseball. But are we talking about a sudden trauma, like a single bad pitch, or is it something more insidious? How does this incredibly strong tissue actually fail?
That's a great question, because we're usually dealing with one of two different mechanisms.
Okay.
The acute single pitch injury does happen. An athlete feels an immediate pop or a sharp pain.
And they know right away.
They know. It results in immediate instability and often a complete tear of the ligament. But that's actually the less common one.
So what's the more common cause?
The vast majority of these tears, especially in elite athletes, are due to chronic repetitive stress.
Just wearing it down over time.
Exactly. I mean, consider the forces involved. During the late cocking and acceleration phases of a pitch, the torque generated across that elbow joint it's astronomical.
So the ligament just can't keep up.
Right. We're talking about forces that exceed the ligament's tensile strength over time. It's less like a paperclip bending once and breaking.
And more like?
More like a heavy-duty steel cable that's slowly fraying. The stress causes these tiny micro tears, and because the UCL has a pretty poor blood supply, it can't heal them fast enough.
Ah, the blood supply is key.
It is. And eventually the structural integrity just fails.
The idea that it's a structural fatigue issue is sobering.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned throwing, but what are some other examples of that high valgus stress we might see in, say, non-athletes?
Well, while throwing is the classic culprit, any activity that repeatedly loads the inner elbow can contribute.
Like what?
Gymnastics, for sure. Especially maneuvers that involve weight bearing on the hands or swinging, that can place very similar stresses.
Okay, that makes sense.
And even some high volume manual labor or competitive martial arts with high velocity arm movements, it can all generate that same chronic load.
So if an athlete feels that telltale pain on the inside of their elbow, what's the definitive way a physician confirms a UCL tear? What's the process?
Well, the diagnosis is really a synthesis of a few things: history, physical exam, and imaging.
So it starts with a conversation.
Always. A good clinician starts by just listening. Was there a sudden pop, or has the pain been building over weeks? They're looking for common symptoms. Pain during acceleration, maybe decreased velocity, or that feeling that the elbow is just giving out.
And after the history,
then comes the physical exam. This involves specific stress tests where the doctor carefully applies a valgus load to the elbow while feeling the UCL.
To see if it's loose.
Exactly. They're checking for tenderness and assessing for any abnormal gapping or looseness in the joint that would indicate instability.
And when you move to imaging, what's the tool that really shows the damage?
X-rays are critical, but mainly to exclude other things.
Rule things out, not in.
Right. You rule out bone fractures, loose bodies, or arthritis. But since the UCL is soft tissue, the key imaging is the MRI scan, magnetic resonance imaging.
And that gives you the detailed picture.
It gives you everything. It uses these detailed cross-sectional images that let the doctor directly see the ligament, assess how bad the tear is it partial or a full rupture, and see if anything else around it is involved.
So let's say the MRI reveals a partial tear, not a full rupture. Is there a chance to avoid surgery altogether? What does that conservative path look like?
Conservative management is absolutely the gold standard for partial tears where the elbow is still stable.
And the goal is just healing.
The goal is ligament rest and biological healing. And this isn't a casual recovery period. It requires intense commitment from the athlete.
What does that involve?
Initially, it means complete rest from whatever activity caused it. No throwing.
At all.
None. Often that includes a brace or a splint to prevent motions that would aggravate the injury. Once that acute pain subsides, physical therapy begins.
What's the focus of the PT?
First, just restoring full pain-free range of motion. But it's a really delicate balance.
Because you have to strengthen the area without stressing that healing ligament.
Precisely. The therapy moves in phases. You start with isometric exercises, then move to focused strengthening of the flexor pronator muscles in the forearm.
And those muscles help out.
The idea is to offload the UCL by turning the surrounding muscles into better dynamic stabilizers. If this whole rigorous multi-month approach fails, or if the initial tear was complete, that's when we start talking about reconstruction.
We have been talking about thrower's elbow, also known as an ulnar collateral ligament injury, based on information from the elbow education section of the free and peer-reviewed patient education website, OrthoEducation, at www.orthoeducation.com.
Now we get to the procedure that really did revolutionize sports medicine. We've established that before 1974, a torn UCL meant retirement.
End of the road. So walk us through that moment. Why is it called Tommy John surgery, and how did Dr. Frank Jobe even come up with this?
Well, the procedure ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction is just, you know, inextricably linked to Tommy John. He was a very successful left-handed pitcher for the LA Dodgers, and he suffered a catastrophic tear in 1974.
And his surgeon, Dr. Jobe, he basically had to invent a solution.
He did. There was no protocol, no history of success. The conventional wisdom was, your career is over.
So what was Jobe's big idea?
His genius was realizing that simply repairing, just stitching the frayed ends together, wouldn't work. Not with the high forces and poor blood supply we talked about.
Right, it would just pair again.
He needed to replace it entirely.
Yeah.
John was told he had about a 1 in 100 chance of ever pitching again.
1 in 100, wow.
The surgery was performed, and after 18 months of grueling recovery, John returned to the mound and pitched for 14 more seasons.
That's incredible. And that's why his name is on it.
That's why.
The narrative of that return is just immense. It cemented the surgery's place in history. But let's go into the operating room. What exactly does reconstruction mean that's so different from a simple repair?
So repair, like we said, often means stitching existing tissue. Reconstruction means we are building a brand new ligament from scratch.
From scratch. Where do you get the parts?
The surgeon hardens a healthy tendon, usually from the patient's own forearm, the palmaris longus tendon or the hamstring. Sometimes a donor tendon is used.
Okay, so you have the new material. What's next?
Once the graft is secured, the surgeon drills these small tunnels into the humerus and the ulna.
Into the bone itself.
Into the bone. Then the new tendon is threaded through these tunnels in a really specific overlapping pattern.
What kind of pattern?
It's often called a docking technique or a figure eight pattern. And that pattern is crucial because it creates this robust, strong loop that restores stability, and it mimics the original ligament's mechanics. The whole thing usually takes about an hour.
So the surgery itself is quick, but the real test is the months that follow. The rehab process for Tommy John is... it's legendary for its length and intensity. What makes it a 12 to 18 month commitment?
It is absolutely a marathon, not a sprint. And that 12 to 18 month timeline is it's non-negotiable.
Why so long?
Because we're waiting for the body to biologically incorporate that new tendon graft into the bone and ligament structure. It's a process called ligamentization.
Ligamentization.
And it does not happen quickly. Rushing it just guarantees failure.
So recovery is broken into these rigid phases.
Very rigid. The first 6 weeks are all about protection, gentle healing. The arm is often immobilized. Phase two is about regaining range of motion, slowly getting the elbow moving again without stress.
And phase three.
That's usually months 3 through 5. That involves serious strength training for the shoulder, the core, and all the dynamic stabilizers of the elbow, getting the whole kinetic chain ready.
So when does an athlete actually get to touch a ball again? That must be a huge psychological hurdle to clear.
It is. The throwing process, which we call the interval throwing program, usually starts around the 4 to 6 month mark.
And it's meticulously structured.
Oh, absolutely. They start with low intensity, short distance throws. They're essentially relearning the mechanics without that destructive force. And this program itself lasts for months, gradually increasing distance and intensity.
Just to make sure the new ligament can handle it.
Exactly. And the psychological toll is immense. You have athletes who are used to immediate results, and now they're watching their peers compete for a year, maybe more.
That patience required. It must be incredible.
The patience to stick to the protocol, knowing any slip up could mean starting over, is probably the biggest factor in the high success rate we see.
So given how invasive it is and the long rehab, what are the potential pitfalls? And on the other side, what does the data show about the prognosis?
Well, like any surgery, there are risks. Infection, nerve irritation, especially the ulnar nerve, which runs very close to the site, and post-op stiffness.
But what's the risk specific to the procedure?
The primary risk is the potential failure of the graft itself, or simply not regaining the ability to generate that elite velocity and control.
But the data is overwhelmingly positive, right? The success rate is incredibly high.
It is. The overall prognosis is excellent due to improvements in surgical technique and, maybe more importantly, those standardized rehab protocols.
Yeah.
Studies show that approximately 80 to 90% of athletes return to competitive play.
And often at or even above their pre-injury level.
That's right.
It really seems like that success rate is a direct reflection of the patient's commitment to that 12 to 18 months. So to recap, we've covered the critical role of the UCL in resisting that valgus stress.
The difference between a fatigue injury and an acute one.
The necessity of the MRI for diagnosis and the intense dedication required for the UCL reconstruction recovery.
We have just discussed thrower's elbow and Tommy John surgery based on information from the free, easy-to-understand patient education website, OrthoEducation, available at www.orthoeducation.com.
And please remember, this deep dive is for general educational purposes only. If you're dealing with an injury or have concerns about your health, be sure to consult a trained healthcare professional.
And here is a final thought for you to chew on. The success of Tommy John surgery isn't just about the procedure itself. It's a testament to the patient's dedication to that 12 to 18 month rehabilitation process, a timeline that's often longer than most professional athletic seasons.
That's a great point.
So what does that kind of sustained year plus commitment tell us about the singular drive and the psychological fortitude required to be a professional thrower?